The following is a recording from Maria Verona from iAdvise on Friday, July 22nd, 2016 at 10:01 a.m. Central. Megacable second quarter 2016. Good morning, everyone. My name is Josh and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Megacable second quarter 2016 earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After this presentation, we will open a question and answer session. Instructions on how to ask a question will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Josh, and good morning, and welcome to Megacable's second quarter 2016 conference call. Thank you very much for participating today. At this time, I would like to introduce the team from Megacable, starting with Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Setter, Chief Financial Officer. Today, they will be discussing the quarterly results prior to taking questions from the audience. Please note that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions, which can be found in the disclaimer included in the quarterly release that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive the information and would like to be added to the Megacable mailing list, please contact iAdvise Corporate Communications at 212-406-3695. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Mr. Yamuni, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafael, and thank you all for your participation. It's a pleasure for me to review with you the company's results for the second quarter and first half of 2016, which once again marks another strong financial period for our company. Megacable experienced solid results and remains on track towards finalizing strategic projects that will bring the company to reach its targets and the guidance established at the beginning of the year. This quarter, Megacable reported an outstanding 24% increase in cable operations revenue, reaching 3.6 billion pesos and 7.2 billion for the year first semester. We believe that this important segment has high growth potential for the company, and we consider that we are in good position in terms of technology and infrastructure to take advantage of the growth in the telecommunications industry. In line with its next-generation video strategy, the company successfully launched XView service in Querétaro and Guanajuato, whereby subscribers can access an interactive programming guide, time-shift television, stopover, cloud DVR, and VOD. We're in the process of launching this platform in Guadalajara, Puebla, and other regions. EBITDA for cable operations resulted at 44% growth in 44% in the second quarter of 2016, and 46% for the 6-month period. Despite an expensive U.S. dollar and its impact on costs, upon adding PCCB, MTM, and NOLA, the quarterly EBITDA margin results on 40% and 42% for the first 6 months. The OLA EBITDA margin expanded from 6% in the second quarter of 2016 to 14% in 16, increasing the EBITDA contribution from pesos 32 million to 49 million respectively, a 52% improvement. Megacable has achieved substantial improvements in the network in our continued effort to offer innovative services to our customers, while at the same time preparing the platform for a next generation of service delivery. We continue to deploy DOCSIS 3.0 in terms of set-top boxes in traditional QAM video technology, continue to be deployed since these also provide the best experience to subscribers at very efficient cost. CPE accounts for 31% of our investment in CAPEX. The HD signal has been upgraded to include 110 channels, a tremendous benefit for Megacable subscribers. The company will have HD broadcast in place and ready to transmit the Olympic Games this summer. Broadband continues to be our main drive, and we expect this to remain the case for the coming years. However, it is important to note that pay television, broadband, and telephony continue very healthy growth levels with year-over-year increases of 17%, 27%, and 16% respectively. As a result of all those efforts, the company posted a 20% increase in RGUs year-over-year, totaling more than 5.9 million units as of June 30, 2016. While unique subscribers accounted for approximately 3.3 million, maintaining RGUs per subscriber to 1.82. We are focused on activities that are clearly aimed at improving the level of service for our subscribers and growing our unique subscriber number as well as the RGUs per unique subscriber. Just as a final note, on the development at the General Annual Ordinary Shareholders Meeting that took place in April, shareholders approved the dividend payment recommended by the board. The amount paid was 1,169 million pesos, representing 20% of 2015 EBITDA, higher than the 15% that is in accordance with the dividend policy. The payment was made in one installment in May of 2016. More detail of our operations and financial results will be discussed by Raimundo and Luis. Raimundo, please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning to everyone. I will focus on the operational highlights that were behind our results. During the second quarter, Megacable continued its growth momentum and reached the milestone of 3 million video subscribers, an increase of 17% or 437,000 net adds compared to second quarter 2016. Video has been going through a major transformation. A new set-top box has just been deployed in several markets and presents a completely new user interface, providing a much more immersive experience when utilizing video services. Now, the next generation of video services is now a reality, allowing our customers to convert the linear channels into a non-linear experience with time-shift TV and cloud DVR being an incredible new experience for them. We expect to be aggressively expanding these capabilities to other markets very soon. Regarding internet subscribers, we continue to grow with more than 1.9 million subscribers and net adds of 52,000 for the quarter. This increased our base by 420,000 net additions compared to the second quarter of 2015. As we mentioned in previous calls, we anticipate internet subscriber growth to continue as the major catalyst for Megacable's performance in the coming years. With internet growth in both customer base and traffic consumption, Megacable has taken all the necessary measures to guarantee the bandwidth in the access and transport layers of our network, increasing capacity by 110% year over year, reflecting our commitment to supporting a state-of-the-art, reliable, and always available network infrastructure. Strategically, in some cities, we just started to migrate the subscribers to a minimum speed of 20 megabits in the basic package and have the availability to deliver up to 200 megabits with competitive rates. We continue to improve the performance and reliability of our broadband products. Furthermore, Megacable is heavily investing in expanding Wi-Fi capabilities. In this semester, we reached approximately 3,500 Megacable Wi-Fi hotspots and a total of 10,000 that our customers can use throughout the country, thereby offering access ubiquity to our customers and allow them to utilize the internet outside their homes and workplaces. Moving on to Megacable's new high-speed backbone, we're happy to announce that we're about to activate this completely redesigned network carrying all of Megacable's video data and voice services. The new backbone was based on a state-of-the-art architecture that aims to future-proof Megacable bandwidth needs for the upcoming future. In telephony, this space added over 129,000 subscribers, a 16% year-over-year increase of more than 18,000 users for the quarter. The subscriber migration to telephony products of unlimited calls is the key in the success of this sector. However, during this quarter there was an apparent slowdown of subscriber growth, mainly due to the seasonality of second quarter 2016, as well as the disconnection of subscribers who had hired our video service in response to the analog shutdown and the churn rate related to the price increase in our double play service and additional TV equipment. This price increase was in some specific markets as well. It is important to highlight that both sales and churn rates for the month of June already show a trend consistent to the one prior to the analog shutdown. As a conclusion, we have been achieving subscriber growth while keeping our sales volume, support the analog shutdown excess demand, and increased rates that brought a higher churn rate for the quarter. On the corporate segment, during second quarter 2016, revenues accounted for 753 million pesos, representing 18% of the company's total. This growth goes in line with our goal of being also one of the main corporate telecommunication players in Mexico. MetroCarrier continues to provide connectivity at the highest capacity to all business segments and growing at a 55% rate per year. MTM at 20%, and ola, that besides the extraordinary revenue generated in second quarter 2015, continues to give great results to the group. Luis will now continue with the financial highlights. Luis, please go ahead.
Thank you, Raimundo. Hello, everybody. I will summarize the financial results, and then we will be glad to answer your questions. Megacable's consolidated service revenues increased 14% from second quarter 2015 to second quarter 2016, reaching 4.2 billion pesos. Cable operation revenue, as mentioned before, increased a remarkable 24% in the quarter and 23% year-to-date, reaching 3.6 billion pesos and 7.2 billion pesos, respectively. Megacable once again delivered strong revenue in the mass market. Video grew 20%, internet 35%, telephony 8%, while corporate and government decreased 16%, and as mentioned before, this was mainly due to OLA and PCTV. As we explained in our report, OLA revenues have been consistently increasing quarter to quarter. Actually, compared to last quarter, OLA revenue grew more than 48 million pesos. The effect comes more from the fact that in 2015, in the second quarter, the progress in CFE project was outstanding, and therefore, the revenue recognition booked in that period project is beyond 60% now and is scheduled to be completed before the year ends. Also, CCTV in 2015 in the second quarter still reflects Cablecom and EVI as subscribers, as customers who are no longer with us. On a per segment basis, video contributed 47% of revenue, internet 26%, telephony 8%, and corporate 18%. Cost of services increased 2% for the entire company compared to the second quarter 2015, with costs primarily decreasing in OLA due to the same effect that revenue recognition on CFC projects and also due to CCTV. Operating and general expenses increased 18%, mainly due to the growth of the operation, the yearly labor cost increase that included also portion retroactive from Q1 16, and overall, consolidated costs and expenses grew only 8.6%, much lower than our 14% consolidated revenue growth. As a result, consolidated EBITDA rose 23% compared to the second quarter of 2015, reaching 1,700 million pesos for an EBITDA margin of 40%. Adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose 24% from the second quarter 2015 to the same period in 2016, to a total of 1,596 million pesos, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 44%. Our margin over cable revenue remains one of the strongest in the market. Net income totaled 824 million pesos, a 20% increase year over year, thanks to the sustained revenue growth of the company and despite the currency volatility and ever-increasing competition. Megacable invested 1,063 million pesos for a total of 1,869 million pesos in the year, as we expect the largest portion of the capex to come in the second half of 2016. This investment, as always, was mainly allocated towards the purchase of terminal subscribers, build new and upgrade kilometers of network, modernization of our technology, and the purchase of other fixed assets. As mentioned in the report, net debt of 1.47 billion pesos comes mainly from the loan associated with CFE's project that, as of June 2015, was valued above 1.4 debt. We have completed the process with banks to refinance 2 billion of the 2.1 billion on the current club deal loan for another 3-year period under basically same conditions in pesos, bullet payments, etc. Thank you so much for your attention. Operator, may we proceed with the Q&A portion of the call, please?
Certainly. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. But again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. We will pause momentarily to compile a list of questioners.
Bye, welcome.
Thank you. We now have our first question coming from Damile Caterle from Credit Suisse.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I was wondering if you could give us more details on your pricing strategy, because you mentioned in the earnings release some rate increase in the double play service. So more details on this strategy would be very good. And my second question is about guidance. I'd like to know if there was any change to former guidance after this strong quarter. Thank you.
Sure, Daniel. This is Raimundo. And thank you for the interest and the question. Regarding the pricing strategy, we have that in our business plan for this year. It was aimed mostly to double play subscribers, those are video and broadband subscribers, and also an increase in the additional set-top boxes that are in the customer's premises. That one took place during the month of April, pretty much, as it was forecast. It is not a high increase of rate because of competition and market conditions, but every time we try to adjust where we know there is a space or room available to do that part. We believe we have a very competitive price in the double package, and since we are still trying to roll more on the triple play with the telephone in that part, our triple play package price was competitive, and the one that can be close a little bit was the double. So that's pretty much what we did in the 10 megabits and 15 and 20 megabits. We did increase rate during the month of April. Regarding the guidance, Luis, I don't know if you want to do any comments on that part. That's an obligated question.
Sure. We were expecting that, Daniel. Thanks for your question. And yes, the strong results, as you mentioned, and as you also established in your comments, an upside risk on compared to our guidance. Nevertheless, remember that we have always been conservative, and we want to look at numbers, and we want to be sure that we meet them. So we are not really pushing the numbers up. We are basically, in terms of revenue as a total of a company and EBITDA numbers, we are keeping them as they are today. We are not reflecting any change on that. We want to review basically the number of, or our forecast in number of subscribers, of net adds, that we are expecting to finish with in internet and telephony. We established a guidance at the beginning of the year on 27.5% on internet. We want to be conservative again and keep it on 25. No change for TV. I have to mention that. We are very confident that we are going to achieve the guidance on video subscribers. And on telephony, we are seeing a slowdown a little bit in general in the country. And instead of the 25% that we established at the beginning of the year, we think that we are going to finish between 18 and 20% now. Although, have to mention that we also forecasted a slight decrease in ARPU that we are not seeing, and we don't really forecast any decrease there. So the reduction that we are seeing on the combination of this really is not going to impact in a large number or not our revenues or EBITDA. And also, as we are seeing, Ola has been bringing healthier margin, also larger revenue. So we think that any type of impact that we may get from the mass market, it will be more than covered by the corporate business that is now pushing up.
And the ARPU.
And the ARPU.
Thank
you very much.
Okay, Daniel.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos de Legareta from GBM.
Thank you. I guess this is part of implicit there, but I don't know if you can talk about any expectations for the corporate market for the second half of the year. I think it is relevant because, in the context of the budget cuts from the government, we would like to understand if there's going to be any effect at all and how could that be affecting you. That's the first question, please. And the second one is a more specific one. I mean, you're disclosing $1 billion in CapEx. However, I'm looking at your cash flow statement, and I'm looking at $1.4 billion in property. In purchases of property, plant, and equipment. And I just want to know how you reconcile those figures, if possible. Thank you.
Okay. Want to talk on?
Sure. Hi, Carlos. This is Raymond again. Okay, regarding corporate, like Luis was explaining on the guidance on that part, we believe we're going to have a good second half of the year. Ola continue to bring better revenue results on that part coming from the CPE and from the operation that they have. This month looks like Ola has a decline of revenue, but like most of you, view in our numbers, that was because of an extraordinary CPE project in second quarter 2015. We expect to have good corporate coming from those. Those are projects that we already have. The funnel and the value of new contracts that we have for Metro Carrier, all and MTM are already there. We don't expect that to decrease. And that's the reason why we're keeping the guidance the way we have it, in addition to the ARPU that we have and the remain of the video subscribers in line with the 11% growth that we had before. So we expect a good second half of the year for that part. So government, we have those contracts and we don't expect to affect the guidance that we have so far. We understand that government is cutting down investment on that part, but I think we've been very smart to be able to provide services at the regional and private and corporate enterprise as well to compensate that. The second one, Luis, was related to the CapEx reconciliation between
Tesla and
the CapEx.
Basically, Carlos, the difference is that we have some construction projects that we have already looked at in our accounting, but we don't put it as a final CapEx until the kilometers are activated or the constructions are completed. Basically, that's the difference between those two.
Perfect. So the guidance that you provided previously, that's, I think, if I remember correctly, around 25% of CapEx to sales, that should be meaning with this criteria, right?
Right. We are targeting $260 million, more or less, 270 more. That will be the figure final of the year. So we expect that we will invest the largest piece of CapEx or will come in the second half of the year.
Great. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Marcelo Santos, the J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I just wondered if you could share with us a little bit of what's the ARPU uplift that you see from the adoption of the new XView service that you're launching. And also, as a second question, give some information about the CFE project, how much of it has already been completed, how much revenues you should still see on this project in the second half. Thanks.
Sure, Marcelo. Regarding the XView ARPU, that's already included in our forecast for the guidance that we have on that part. And as we said, we're migrating subscribers as we fish subscribers in order to get the XView GADA activate their service by calling us or going to our offices or ourselves going and trying to do the upsell on that part. We are providing them with a package in addition to the basic package that they have, the upper package, that includes most of the HD channel and the possibility of doing the XView, and they have to pay for the set-top box. So that they pretty much pay around, I don't know, we need to get that amount in dollars, deducting set-top box and everything for them to have. But the customer, what they have to pay 50 pesos for that in addition to what we have, compared to the package that we're doing right now. That doesn't mean it's going to be for all the subscribers, and it's not going to be for the mini basic, and it's part of the strategy that we have to overcome competition in that area. It is a great product, and it's going to be deployed mostly and probably in our company by the beginning of 2017, because right now we are doing demonstrations as we speak, and it's limited to certain areas of the market. As we say, we already launched that in Querétaro and Guanajuato, and people are really, really, really happy with that, but it just began in June, so it's really early to tell you what the success of that product will be. And regarding the CPE with Ola, Luis, I understand we're already going through 60% pretty much of the...
We are at 63% now progress on the CFE project. So you will still, by the end of the year, we will have additional 860 million pesos coming in revenue, more or less, depending on the exchange rate, but basically that is the figure that you will be seeing in our numbers.
Sorry, could you review the percentage? I couldn't get it.
63%.
And 860 yeah. million.
It's a 120 million project.
But what's the revenue that we will see?
You will see 850 million model.
Okay. Thank you.
And a million pesos.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Martin Lara from Interaccione Securities.
Hi, good morning. Okay, I'm a little bit concerned about the EBITDA margin because there was a sequential contraction. So my question is, what should we expect going forward? Do you think we can expect a rebound in the second half, or the margin should be around the 40% level?
Okay. Yes, Martin. Let me talk about a little bit on margin. As a seasonal thing, second quarter has always lower margins than
first quarter. First quarter.
So that's one of the points coming from a seasonal thing. And we also have in terms of the cable operations, we expect to remain around 44%. We don't see that going down, and there's an opportunity to bring it up. But for now, we will want we would like to be conservative and be straightforward that we see that margin in 44%, and it will depend, and in this case, on how much the corporate business brings, and we are expecting a large amount of revenue coming from CFE projects in NOLA. And that, of course, will pressure a little bit our margin, but on the corporate side. So cable operations is still healthy. The margins are healthy and will be on the same direction. And will bring a lot of revenue and EBITDA on the CFE project that we are glad to take, although the margins could come down to 40 to 39% at most, depending on this, how much revenue we get in the third quarter or fourth quarter coming from OLA.
Yeah, because it's extraordinary revenue coming from the CFE project on the
right, which, of course, is not a 44% margin.
Mm-hmm.
That project is between 10, 12, 14% margin.
But still our consolidated EBITDA rose from 37% to 40% over year. So that tells you, Martin, pretty much what Luis is saying about the seasonality on the second quarter compared to the first quarter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rodrigo Villanueva from Merrill Lynch.
Thank you. Good morning, Enrique, Raimundo, and Luis. I was wondering if you're planning to be more aggressive leasing capacity from Telmex now that the local loop unbundling appears to be implemented. And if so, I was wondering if you could share with us any estimate on what the positive impact this could bring in terms of CapEx savings. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't buy a lot of services from Telmex. We only buy services from Telmex, but there is nobody else because it doesn't make any sense to buy from them because of the prices they offer. We're trying to get from them some infrastructure, like being able to use their poles, being able to use it back for our construction, aerial and underground construction that we need to do. We have solicited from them to the IFT certain routes of fiber. We're trying to get fiber strands from them so we can lighten those strands and complete part of our backbone, but there's nobody else other than Telmex. But we don't see, that's, other than that, we don't see many. We're looking, Telmex is also offering the possibility of doing MVNOs with them. They came out with an offer there, we're mm-hmm. looking at it. We're not sure whether we want to do an MVNO or not yet. We're concentrated currently in the businesses that we have now, developing the corporate and business market and growing our massive, our residential services also. But in case we do use Telmex, we would have to be at reasonable prices wherever we go our business with them. We have been getting lowering their tariffs. We have been lowering their traffic tariffs currently. So we have better tariffs from them. But still, their tariffs are at least 15 times expensive than anyone else. So it's not like a bargain, to buy from them at the current prices that they are offering. I don't know if that answers your question, Rodrigo.
And also let me compliment, Rodrigo, when you talk about the local unbundling, the local loop and that part, what we have been telling Telmex is that might apply for somebody that is not from the business. Why would we like to leave the last mile from them when we have the last mile? And ours is way better than them. So that doesn't work for us. But we're fighting, like Enrique is saying, is what we really need. It's better infrastructure to places where we don't get because it's really far away, or we don't have a way to get there, and they have it because of the preponderance they have over the years past. So that's pretty much
Maybe the unbundling could work for certain projects like Mexico Conectado, but even those projects, due to the difficulties to get Telmex infrastructure and the prices that they do, we'd rather use microwave than trying to do anything with the last mile of service. It's not reasonable and it's not realistic to use that yet. The IFC has not been effective in doing that.
Understood, Enrique Raymond. Thank you very much. It's very clear. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Gilberto Garcia from Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. My question is on a subject we have discussed before. So basically, by year end, you will be debt free. So, I mean, even with the debt you have now, you have a very strong balance sheet. So I was wondering what your thoughts are on your capital allocation strategy, particularly for the corporate sector. You mentioned that you plan to be conservative and careful in this area, but do you expect to participate in projects probably using your balance sheet as an advantage, or would you consider M&A, or what are your thoughts in general? Thank you.
Well, interesting question. Yes, we have always had a strong balance sheet. We have always found good uses for the money. Whenever we don't have a use for the money inside the company, we will decide to do a dividend that we did last May. We are looking at certain projects, you know, some fiber deployments that we need to do for better performance of the company. We are also, you know, our CapEx is about, the guidance for the CapEx for this year is about 25-26% of the revenues of the company. But by the end of the year, we will get rid pretty much of the debt that we acquired for the CFE project that is going to be paid for. But we will still have the debt of the banking debt that we have. We just renewed that. We got a loan of 2 billion pesos from three banks, a consortium of three banks. That's a club deal that we closed to refinance our debt. But, I mean, we don't really have a big merger or acquisition in our on site. We will, you know, we will do as we have done in the past. Whenever we don't have a better use for the money, well, we could continue with the dividend policy that we have now.
We are, and we have been always open to, you know, find out if there's any player or any company in the market that makes sense to acquire. We will certainly take a look on that.
We're going to new projects, into new projects as long as those projects, you know, are have the right returns and make sense for the shareholders of the company.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phones now. That is star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Andres Coelho from Scotiabank.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. I just want to make sure I heard the new guidance on internet and telephony well. You said that by the end of this year, your internet subscriber ratio will be approximately 25% higher than last year's, and that telephony is going to grow between 18 to 20%. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so if your internet base is going to grow 25% by year end, that means that you guys are expecting over 300,000 net additions for broadband, and in the case of telephony, over approximately 130,000 to 150,000 net additions in telephony, more or less?
The additions in internet, yes, I agree with the numbers you gave, but can you repeat the ones from telephony?
Yes, I mean, you're saying that your base on telephony is going to grow 20%, right, by year end. So
yes,
what I'm getting my numbers
yes.
is that
yes.
20% from the prior year, right?
That's yes. right.
Is that right? Okay, so according to my numbers, that should lead telephony subscribers to approximately 1,075,000. And you closed last quarter, Q2, with 930,000. So that's approximately, you know, somewhere between 100,000 and 150,000 in actual. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's correct.
That's correct,
Andres. 140-something.
Okay.
Yeah. That's correct.
Okay, so, But here's what I don't get. I mean, in the second quarter, you guys grew telephony by approximately 18,000 in apps. So you are saying that for the second half of the year, we should expect a very significant acceleration of telephony, and also you guys almost tripling your net additions in broadband compared to the second quarter. I just want to make sure I am getting your expectations correct. So because if you are going to grow 200,000 in the second half of the year, and you grew only 50,000 in Q2, that means that you're expecting net adds to basically triple compared to the second quarter. Is that correct?
Yes, Andres. What we see, and if you see the historical that we have, this quarter we have an apparent slowdown in subscribers, like we say, that affects our guidance in the part, mostly because we have an extraordinary fourth quarter and first quarter because of the analog shutdown. We were very aggressive on that part in terms of promotion. We wanted to keep those subscribers. We estimate that we had 100,000 subscribers coming from the analog shutdown, and we lost 40,000 of them, pretty much. So if you take that and you add those subscribers, and it does affect both, because at the end what we have and how we got them was with a very aggressive promotion for 2 or 3 months, and then at the 4 months we have a different price that, including the increasing rate that we have in April, make us have a higher churn that we had before in the three services of all. We understand it's very aggressive, but we have the best semester to come in internet and telephony growth, and gotta go as part of our strategy again with the growth of broadband. So our target is to meet broadband, and then telephony will come slightly below that part if we are efficient on that. We feel this is a very aggressive number still to meet, but it comes the best time of the year for the second semester on that part. Broadband, if you see per quarter, we normally grow 120, 130, 140. So we need to grow 160 this year so far. Ourselves in June and part make us believe we can achieve that, and the key to success will be how efficient we are to bundle telephony with broadband from here until the end of December. That's the key. But you have the right,
okay,
right numbers in your mind.
Yes, you're right. And again,
perfect.
You have to take in consideration not only the last quarter, but look at the numbers for the last 5 to 6 quarters, and then you'll find the answer.
We need to see, Andres, if that what you call a hiccup. I need to see that. Sorry. I like about this question.
Regarding your comments, also, Andres, we don't see any card cutting phenomenon or event in Mexico yet. And we're growing video at 17% year-to-year. There's no cut-cutting there. This is basically an economic issue. Most of our churn, or not ordinary churn for this quarter was basically subscribers that had only video, and that we got a lot of only video, and we got also, single play, but we got also a lot of cancellations from people that got our service for the annual shutdown that had never had paid television before. We're looking at coming years of growth in pay television still in Mexico. That's how we see it. And broadband is going to be, you know, much more growth than video, but video is still growing. That's why we kept the guidance at 11% in video. You have the right numbers there, Andres. In terms of saying, we have no doubt for video on that. I think we can meet very much broadband, and we're doing a strong effort to bundle with broadband and telephone. That's the key for the two that you were saying that we're changing the guidance on that part, and we're going to do everything to get telephone. That's the one we're farther away from, but coupled with the back-to-school campaign that is right now going over in that part, and the new IMS service that we have, we can be creative and put more value in terms of a product that normally people don't value it anymore, which is telephony. You know? But we need to be efficient in the bundle part.
Okay, perfect. And one last question, Raimundo, for you. Honestly, are you happy with the content that that the broadcasters or that television networks are providing you with? I mean, are you happy with the quality of that content? And that goes for Televisa and for the restricted networks. Are you asking them to improve their content? Are you active in requiring them to improve their content, or are you just you're just happy with the relation and you just you just get what they give you and that's it?
Well, we're always fighting with the programmers to get better quality of content. That's a given. That's for sure. That's part of our job, and that's part of our product that we resell to that area. But if you look at what Enrique says about the cord cutting, what we see is a growth still on pay TV market in Mexico. People getting Discovery, MTV, CNN, Sony, Warner, all the channels that you get from the regular programmers in the States for the first time, and they are amazed of that programming, getting more share of the audience that regular broadcast TV within our own pay TV. So that means we're getting better share and ratings from the network than what we got from the off-air, most carry, most offered channels in our part. And what we see that we're happy in that area is that the fight and the trend from the studios and the programmers to keep our content on a linear basis to a non-linear basis, because all of those channels are providing to us non-linear content for our VOD catch-up, TV Everywhere, and reverse CPG service that we're providing. So new generations and the new people in Mexico that get the cable can also have the experience of a non-linear. So that's where we're more focused on that part. We see also HBO and Fox Plus fighting because of the entrance of Netflix with content. So now they are getting much and better products on that area. So I'm not happy, but I'm not disappointed of what we see on the market for that. We see more HD channels, the migration to HD. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, if I can recall, was the fight from us to get HD content because we were ready with the HD network, but there was no content. Now our fight all this year is being, and last year, is being to get non-linear content. Finally, we are getting that. And of course, we have the capability and the ability, Megacable, to go also direct to the studios and provide to our subscribers to a great offer on a free VOD for subscribers with us, with the players. So whenever you come here, we will love to give all of you guys a presentation of our product. Maybe we need to do that, Saul, for them to see the experience of our NGV product, which is great. So we're very excited for second semester to do a great bundle with the 20 megabit speed minimum that we have in major markets that we're upgrading. So we're one step, we try to be always one step ahead of everybody. It's been a long road, because 6 years ago, when you talk to the studios or talk to the networks, and you talk to them about OTT and the possibility of the getting their content and put it in a non-linear channel, so they could access, the subscriber could access those shows or that content in a different device other than the TV set, you know, at a different time that was originally placed by the programmer in their linear channel, it was a really, really, this hard discussion with them. We have come a long way. We have a lot of programming rights to put them on the OTT that is included in the price that the subscriber is already paying for the subscription. So we think there's a lot of audience. There's long ways to go yet, but we have come long. We have made a lot of progress. So our OTT content is amazing now.
Yeah.
You can see a lot of the linear shows in OTT, in the OTT platform, so the subscriber can access it in their laptops, in their tablets, in their smartphones, whenever they want us to watch it. Basically all devices, anytime. So we're still, struggling with that, but we think we will make a lot of progress in the months and years to come.
Let me make one more comment for everybody that has been asking the questions on that part. Our strategy will continue to be to grow our subscriber base by increasing ARPU. We saw at the end of the year the effect and the opportunity of the analog shutdown. We took it. We have a great growth at the end of fourth quarter, beginning of first quarter. We are in line to see an opportunity of an increasing rate at the same time for double packages to increase the ARPU. We took it. At the end, we continue to provide subscriber growth. We did not lose subscribers at all. We continue to grow in those, even though we were very aggressive. And what we see now is a most robust rate and ARPU for our subscribers, and go back again to a very efficient way to commercialize our services, and hopefully we can meet your expectations for the second half of this year.
Thank you.
Okay. Andres and Eric.
Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. And at this time, I'm showing no further questions. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Yamuni for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you all for giving us the opportunity to discuss Megacable's performance again. We, as always, are open to any other questions that you may have. In our investor relations department, it's available to answer any questions or address any concerns you may have. So please don't hesitate to contact us if you have any questions. Have a great day and a very good weekend to everyone. And Raimundo, please, and Tona, I think. Thank you very much to all of you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.